Good morning. Okay, here we are. It's good to be with you. And I'm looking forward to expounding on this month's sermon series on bringing family into focus. Of course, this is Mother's Day, and so I have the opportunity to talk a little bit around that part of family. But I just want to kind of bring in an introduction about why it's important that we talk about family. And there's an aspect of just recognizing that God has chosen to create family as a way for us to understand His love. That He has chosen family as a way for us to understand some things about His character. And so part of focusing on family is learning to do family really well. But part of focusing on family is recognizing that when we do family well, we display something of God's character and who He is. And so that's going to be kind of where we land today. But I want to just start by reading a couple of verses that remind us of the vastness of God's love. Psalm 86:15 says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." And I want us to focus on that aspect of God, that He is abounding in love. It means He is overflowing. There's an abundance of love. There's a vastness to His love. Psalm 36:5 says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the sky." As vast as the heavens. And so we see the Bible is constantly trying to describe to us the nature of God. And quite often it's focused around His love. There's literally hundreds of verses that are trying to give us a picture of this thing that is completely unfathomable. I'm not sure if that's the word, but it's completely impossible for us to see the fullness of it. And so the Bible works at showing us the vastness of His love, the immenseness of His love, His extreme, extravagant love is all throughout the Bible. This is a primary goal that God has, is convincing us of how big His love is for us, how huge it is. And so we see that this is His desire, and our entire lives we're going to be spending learning the vastness of His love, learning the abundance of His love. Our entire lives we're going to be plumbing the depths of that, and even into the next life. As we come into eternity with Him, I believe a lot of what we're going to be experiencing is just seeing how big His love is. This is a central part of what His character is. In fact, we all know the verse, John 3:16. It was because God loved us, because God loved the world, that He sent His Son. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "By this, the love of God is manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him." And so we believe as Christians that our access to understanding the depths of God's love comes through believing that. It comes through believing that He sent His Son, that to some degree we can look at creation and we can look at all these different things and go, yes, there must be a God and He must love us. But ultimately, if I want to experience the fullness of God's love, I come into a belief that He sent His Son Jesus as a representation, that He died and rose again as a representation, and to restore to me the ability to know the fullness of God's love, that it's only through that that I can experience the fullness of His love. And so we have this reality, and we see that even in Paul's prayer, and this is my prayer today, this is the prayer that I've been praying over the body of Christ this week, because this has been a place that the Lord's been camping out in my life. But Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, you're probably familiar with it, verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length and the width and the height and the depth of his love. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It is understanding the width and the height and the depth of his love. It's in plumbing the depths of his love that we come to the fullness of God. The fullness of who he is can't be found apart from being rooted and grounded in this love. And that is found in being in Christ. And so this is the mission of the Bible, in a lot of ways, is to demonstrate, to show us over and over. My dad was talking about the different word pictures that the Bible gives us. And, you know, there's places where it says, your love is better than life. Your love is better than wine. Sometimes he gives us these pictures of a father. And he says, if a father on earth is like this, how much greater is my love? And so he's giving us these pictures all throughout the Bible of his love, because it is so vast. It can't be just this one thing to say God loved. He not only does he show us all of these different pictures, and throughout the Old Testament, he's demonstrating it when he showed himself to Moses, when Moses hid in the cleft of the rock and God passed by him and he was showing himself to Moses. The words that came out of his mouth are those same words, that you are compassionate and you are abounding in love and faithfulness. Like, this was the thing that Moses saw, and yet I don't even know if we know the fullness of what that means. And so this is my prayer, the same prayer that Paul prays, that you would know another aspect of the width and the depth of his love today, that he would show us. It's like the realization that the ocean covers 70% of the earth, and yet we've only really explored 20% of that. So most of the earth is covered with ocean, and there's 80% of it that we haven't even explored. This is the love of God. This week, I've been praying. We've all been praying, haven't we? This week, I've been praying for wisdom, because I value wisdom a lot, especially right now. And so I keep coming to the Lord, and I go, you know, Lord, what do you want to show me? What do you want to show me? And he keeps going, I just love you. Do you know? And that was really cool on day one. And the next day, I'm spending time, and I'm going, God, I'm seeking your heart. What are you doing? And what do you want to say? And I need wisdom. And he's going, do you know how much I love you? And it's because of this, because he's saying, do you realize you have only maybe scratched the surface of knowing my love? And you're seeking me for wisdom, but I just want you to be rooted in love. I just want you to know, like, that's where the wisdom is found, in knowing my love. And so there's this depth that it's like we don't know his love at all. And so there's this depth that he wants to show us more and more about who he is. And that's why family matters. That's why this topic of how we relate to one another as family matters. I really believe that, you know, some of these word pictures, like sowing of seed, these natural word pictures, how a tree grows and how we sow a seed and what we reap, those are word pictures. But I believe that family is actually the image of God. So it's not just a word picture. It's not just him saying, oh, let me think. What is something that my love is like? Oh, yeah, it's like a father. But that he actually created this unit to be a representation of his love. That there's actually a bearing of the image of God in mother and father and family. It's not just a picture. It is the very image of God from the beginning. It was an invitation to participate in a divine design that he used, that still only reflects the largeness of his love, but it's a key part of how he wants to demonstrate his love. We know that in Genesis chapter 1, that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so we have to have this recognition that the way that love comes from both male and female is an image, a more complete image of who God is. That it is the actual image bearer is seen, both male and female interaction and characteristics, and male and female love gives us a bigger picture of what that looks like. So we know that when family is under attack, the very image of God is under attack. When marriage is under attack, the very image of God is under attack. When there's fatherlessness, we miss a picture of who God is. And when there's motherlessness, we miss a picture of who God is. And so this is why it's right that we can step into family the way that God intended family to function. This is why it's so important that we not only are able to receive from God in all of these different ways, but that we're able to then reflect God in all of these different ways, and that they're given equal importance in our family units and in our communities. So it's important to me that we acknowledge the mothering heart of God. This is not a sermon about God being a woman. Not going to happen. This is a sermon about recognizing that there are attributes of God that are carried in the mothering heart. That there are attributes of who he is, that when he's saying, this is how big my love is for you, that we can't possibly see the fullness of it if we only look at the fathering heart of God. That we also need to look at the mothering heart of God. That we need to look at that interaction in family. So family provides a glimpse into God's love. It also provides a mechanism to introduce children to what the love of God is like and how to receive from it. Family produces a mechanism for understanding the character and nature of God. Last week, Pastor Bob shared and talked about how in family, iron sharpens iron. This is part of the mechanism of the character of God being created within family. That in whether it's an actual nuclear family or whether it's a church family or it's people that are family to you, you have a close relationship and there's iron sharpening iron, and it creates, it forms us into more of the character and the nature of God so that we can represent him more completely. The other thing is that family is a model for God's kind of love. It's showing us these different aspects. And mothers have an important role for modeling some particular characteristics of this love of God. And we have an important role in connecting our kids to these characteristics of the love of God. In the same way that fathering out of divine design and fathering in the nature of God as Father connects us with knowing how to receive from God as Father, mothering in this divine design connects us with knowing how to receive from God in that mothering heart of God, in those other attributes of God. And so it's important for us as moms to be able to receive from that heart of God so that we even know how to give that. And sometimes right now, because I'm going to be talking about the mothering heart of God, and right now some of you moms are going, great, now I get to hear all of the ways that I'm not measuring up to the mother heart of God. And that's how I feel sometimes. God is like this and God is like that. And here's what I want to do this morning. For those of you that are moms, just for a little while, I want to bless you at the end of the service. I want to bless you as moms. But for a little bit, I want you to sort of shed your motherhood. And I want you to receive the mother heart of God in this. I want us, all of us, to be coming as daughters and as sons. And as I talk about these different attributes of God's character, I want you to set aside your motherhood and whether or not you're measuring up in all these different areas, and I just want you to receive mothering from the heart of God. I want you to receive these things as a daughter so that we can now, all of us, men and women, so men, you should come back to the couch because this is still about you. I want you to receive the mother heart of God in this time. So we're just going to be daughters and sons, and we're going to receive that, and we're going to process these ways that God loves us. It's important that we understand the fullness of God's love for us, because when we do, we won't look anywhere else to fill those places. And this is an essential piece of understanding the fullness of God's love. So we're going to look at what can we learn about this God kind of love by the way that he has designed mothers. What can we learn about this God kind of love? What does he reveal through this? So the first thing I want to look at is God's all-sufficiency. In Psalm 91:1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Which doesn't seem like a mother verse, but I'm going to tell you why it is. When we look at that verse, the word secret place in the Hebrew is the same word that's used in Psalm 139, where it's talking about, "You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Later on it says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, in the womb." And so when we say, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High," it's this understanding that we dwell in a place of all sufficiency. Isn't it true when there's a baby in the womb, when a mother is carrying a baby, everything for life comes through that mother? Everything. I don't take a breath on my own when I'm in the womb. My blood flow, my nutrition, everything is coming. My sense of comfort, my protection. There's an all-sufficiency that comes when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So, isn't Hebrew fun? Knowing what that really means. Because we think it means like hiding away in a cave with God, but it means like being found inside of him where he is our total sufficiency. That's who God wants to be to you. Later in that same verse, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." And here again, we have a word, El Shaddai. The Almighty is translated El Shaddai, and that word has to do with this sufficiency. So, literally translated, it means double-breasted one. It's only weird if you make it weird. But it's this place of sufficiency, of complete and total nourishment, everything that I need. It has to do, another translation of it is one who pours out abundantly. And so we have this picture in Psalm 91, which a lot of us have been running to in these times. We've talked about this in these kind of strange days, that when we dwell in this sufficiency, the womb where we can receive everything we need from God, of the Most High, and we abide in the shadow of the one who pours out, the one who has everything we need. God created moms to have everything a baby needs. All of their needs met. Now they're no longer inside when they're born. They're no longer inside that place of protection. But all their nourishment, all their comfort, everything they need comes from a mom. And God shows us this picture over and over again in the scripture. Any place that it talks about the Almighty or El Shaddai, it's talking about this concept of being completely fed and provided for like a mama, This is God's heart for you, that you would know his all-sufficiency, that you would know his provision. The whole thing between mother and child is this cycle of need being expressed, need being met. Need being expressed, need being met. This is this rhythm that moms learn with their kids, with their babies. This is how God designed moms, and this is how God's heart is. That he comes as the all-sufficient one to meet our needs. Another sort of maternal piece that we see in the Bible, in God's heart, is comfort. It talks numerous times about how God comforts like a mother. In Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. There's this aspect of a mother that comforts like nobody else can comfort. There's something different, not always, but most often, if your little one gets hurt, if mom's in the room, that's probably where they're headed. I had, when I was giving birth to my son, because what's Mother's Day without a good childbirth story? When I was giving birth to my son, it was taking a long time, and I was in transition for a long time. And for those of you that have had babies, you know that's not fun. And so finally we were getting ready to rock and roll. And Brian and I had been a great team. It was just Brian and I in the room, and we had been a good team, and he was supporting me, and I was feeling really strong and like, I can do this, and he's encouraging me, and we're practicing, I'm doing breathing exercises, and we're probably doing them wrong, but we're doing them, and you know, it was great. We were doing great. There was that one pillow incident, which I think I just set the pillow on the ground, but he thinks I threw it at him. But for the most part, it was all going really, really well, and now it was getting to the time when I was going to be able to be in active labor, and I was going to be able to push, and we're going to have this baby. And so he thought, uh-oh, I better go use the restroom because, you know, I'm busy. And so he asked my mom to come in. You know, will you come and be with her so I can you go use the restroom? And I'm feeling awesome, and I've got my swing music playing because that's what I picked for labor. And don't judge me because I did use worship music before. But I had it ready, and I was all ready to go, and my mom walked in the room, and I just fell apart. All of my strength and I can do this just melted. Do you know why? Because the comforter walked in the room. And the part of my heart that needed to be comforted came to the surface and went, I can't do this, and this is so hard. And Brian came in and went, what did you do? Because she was fine before. But it wasn't, that was my comforter. And it would be the same if I was having a hard day. I'd be fine. I'd get on the phone with my mom, and all of a sudden I'd go, ah. And I thought, why can't I talk to my mom without crying? Because it's the comforter. There's something in us that when we connect to the comforter, that part of us that has pain comes to the surface and says, I need something, I need comfort. It's interesting, it doesn't even have to be our mom. We can carry the spirit of the comforter in us. In a different hospital story, when we were in the hospital with my mom, and it was maybe a couple days before she went to be with the Lord, and you know, so things had been hard, but it was good. We were doing good. We were still full of faith, and we were praying, and there was peace, and we'd been worshiping in the room, and it was good. And Heather Nitz walked into the room, and she said, hello, how are you? And I went to say, I'm fine. And I just melted. Now, Heather's not my mom. She's my good friend. But the comforter had walked into the room. There was a mama heart that came into the room. And something in me went, I'm not okay. And I was comforted. We need to let the Comforter operate through us in that way. We need to create an environment where the Comforter can come and where it's okay to need to be comforted. God wants to be our Comforter. There's another piece of who God is. It's similar to that. It's sort of this kind of compassion, care part. In Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have compassion on the son of her womb, and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you. And so again, God is comparing his heart to that of a mother's heart. And he's kind of using that same thing in the verse, remember in the verse where he says, if a father, an earthly father, if his son asks him for a fish, will he give him a stone? No, asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? How much more then am I as the father? How much better am I? And it's the same kind of concept. If a woman cannot forget her child, that nursing sufficiency, that care, how much more will I not forget you? And it's just talking about this innate compassion, this innate care that mothers have for their children. And the way that God has that same kind of compassion for us, that there's this longing to nurture. He longs to nurture us and to have compassion, and he doesn't forget. In the same way that a mom just doesn't forget the needs. There are times when we can go through seasons in our life where we feel forgotten. How many times have you said, God, do you not see what's happening here? Have you forgotten? We need to connect to the mother heart of God that says, I care for you. I will not leave you without having what you need. I will not forget you. There's another a piece of that where moms just, they believe in their kids. They just believe the best in them. There's this care, and they understand the feelings they might be going through. Not maybe right away in the moment, but there's times when my kids, there's this negative behavior coming, and there's part of me that can pretty quickly connect to, oh, there's a need there. There's a pain there. There's something underneath that. Moms can put up with a whole lot and still come back to that place of compassion for their kids. This is the heart of God. He will not walk away from you. There is nothing that you could do. There is no tantrum that you could throw. There is no mistake that you could make. There's no mess that you could make that he will not return to you with compassion. Good. This is the pure heart of a mother that operates, and it comes from the heart of God. Another thing that we see is that he covers us. In Luke 13:34, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. He's saying, you, O disobedient one, who kills the prophets that I send to you and don't follow any of the rules, how often I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. There's this covering nature of God. There's this covering of wanting to gather us and to cover us. In Psalm 91:4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. And so we see Psalms is an Old Testament reference, but the other reference is from Luke, where Jesus, as a representation of God, is showing us the mother heart of God. He was an exact representation of the Father, but he was demonstrating the mother heart of God that says, I want to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. And we can't miss the depths of this imagery here. What we don't understand is that probably hens were looked at much differently then than they are now. Did you know that May 4th, conveniently, is International Respect for Chickens Day? So because of that, I just happened upon this article. Don't ask me what mailing list I'm on. I'm not sure how this happened. But there's an article by Karen Davis, the president of United Poultry Concerns. And she says something that I thought was really interesting. And it has to do with how hens were looked at. This is, by the way, she's not talking about God or Jesus or anything. She really is all about respecting hens. But she said, in our day, the hen has been degraded to an egg machine. In previous eras, she embodied the essence of motherhood. In the first century AD, which would have been about the time that Jesus was saying, "Oh, I want to gather you under my wings like a hen." In the first century AD, the Roman historian Plutarch, maybe, praised the many ways in which mother hens cherish and protect their chicks. Drooping their wings for some to creep under and receiving with joyous affectionate clucks, others mount upon their backs and run up to them from every direction. And though they flee from dogs and snakes, if they're frightened only for themselves, if their fright is for their children, they stand their ground and fight it out beyond their strength. So this is the view of hens in Jesus' day, that there was this honor and respect for them as the essence of motherhood. And so here we are seeing a picture of who God is in recognizing this, the way that he covers us. Another way in the same article that she covers is sitting on her nest, a mother hen carefully turns each of her eggs as often as 30 times a day, using her body, her feet, her beak, to move each egg precisely in order to maintain the proper temperature, moisture, ventilation, humidity, and position of the egg during the 3-week incubation period. Embryonic chicks respond to soothing sounds from the mother hen and warning cries from the rooster. How interesting is that? That there's a different response, that there's the soothing sounds of the mother hen and the warning cries of the rooster. In a couple of weeks, Pastor Dave is going to be talking a little bit about the fatherhood piece of family. And I think it's interesting, the differences, and that we need to honor those differences. But what I see is this covering is like this knowledge of every little detail of their lives. This hen knew that that egg was turned however many hours ago and it needs to be turned again. That's why moms are often the focus of the home calendar and all of the different moving parts, because there's this motherhood in God that knows every detail of your life. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing that he misses. He knows all the details. He knows what you need. He knows, like moms, if you need a sweater that day, right? That's why moms do that. It's just part of turning the eggs. I know you're going to need a sweater. So there's this motherhood of God that is demonstrated in how hens gather and cover. And then we see this piece of covering and gathering under wing to be protection. That God wants to be a protector. It's not just the father heart of God to protect. It's the mothering heart of God also that wants to protect. In the same way that if she's only concerned for her safety, she runs, but she fights beyond her strength if her chicks are threatened, if her children are threatened. This is God. This is God's heart for us. In Hosea 13:8, this is intense. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal, I will tear them apart. This is God's heart towards the enemy that's coming after you. And this is the mother heart of God that says, I will not stand for the enemy coming and taking my cubs or my babies. This is the mother heart of God. And this is the heart that we get to exhibit as mothers, this protection. So these are all ways that God describes his love for you. And in the same way that we can have this deficit in understanding the father heart of God, if our fathers didn't step into the divine design of how God meant for fathers to be. And honestly, I was thinking about this week. I can't possibly step into the fullness of this. As a mom, I was reading this and going, one of the things I was reading is all these stories of moms that protected their kids. There's one story of a mom, she had her kids in the car and she put it in park and was going to unlock her door, and she saw the car rolling down the driveway towards a busy street. And she threw herself under the car and she said, I had to become a speed bump so that they wouldn't roll into the street. They had to, they actually had to use airbags to lift the car off of her because she had, and I thought, I am a terrible mother. I don't know if I would become a speed bump for my car, for my kids. I don't know. I haven't been in that situation, thank God. But there's times when I see this and I go, I know that I'm missing opportunities to comfort. I know that I'm missing opportunities to cover. But that's why one of my most important jobs as a mom is to introduce my kids to the mother heart of God. And to teach them to connect with those places where I'm deficient. I can use this same verse and say, can a woman forget her child? Maybe they will, but God never will. So even those places where I feel like I miss the mark, I can connect my kids with how to connect with the Lord. There's times that I've ministered healing to their hearts for things that I've wounded. But I am so grateful that God is all sufficient. I am so grateful that He can fill those places that I can't fill. So we want to be connected to that. We have to create a culture where, yeah, thank you. Excuse me. We have to create a culture where whether you're a physical mom or a spiritual mom, we have an environment that allows the love of mothers to be manifested. We can't get a complete picture of the love of God without that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see this picture of Paul's motherly heart towards people. He says, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother caring for her children. We cared so deeply that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very own lives as well. That is how beloved you've become to us. So this is the heart of the church, again, to both demonstrate the father heart of God and the sacrificial love of Jesus, but also to demonstrate the mothering heart of God that comes to nurture, that comes with compassion. We need to have an understanding of his love as father, and we need to also experience the love that he has like a mother would love. And so as moms, whether we're physical moms or whether we are spiritual moms, we need to step into allowing God to move through us in that way. And I believe that God wants to restore those things that weren't done perfectly in our lives. He wants to restore those things that weren't done perfectly even through us. Maybe your family is the first non-dysfunctional family. Maybe you're the first generation stepping into having an understanding of the divine design of family and being able to connect to the love of God. And there's something that's created in generations when we operate in this divine design of fatherhood and motherhood in the way that God intended, that now, from generation to generation, shows the love of God that is all-sufficient, that comforts, that cares, that's full of compassion, that covers. There's something generational that he wants to pour out in this. And whether or not you felt that mothering love growing up, God wants to love that place in you now. Where do you feel lack? Is it hard for you to receive comfort? Do you feel forgotten? Do you not feel that sense of care and compassion? Do you not know what it is to feel covered, like under the wings of a hen? God wants to do that for you today. And for those of you that are moms, He wants you to be able to be filled up and to experience Him in the same way that you want to be giving out to your kids. You're giving out a lot, but we can't give out of what we don't know and what we don't have. And so I want you to experience a revelation of His compassion and His comfort and His covering and His protection today, so that you can love from that place. I'm going to call Vanessa up. And we want to take an opportunity we're just going to start first with allowing moms to just be filled up with the mothering heart of God. Vanessa's going to sing a song of blessing. And what I would encourage is if your family's together, if husbands, if you're with your wives and they're a mom, and if there's kids in the room, or if you sent them away so you could actually listen to the sermon, call them back in the room. And I just want, initially, I just want you to put your hands on those that are mothers in the room with you. And just pour blessing into them, that they would experience all these aspects of who God is, that they would feel the blessing and the favor of a God who will not forget them, of a God who's all-sufficient. You don't have to pray out loud. It's just that you're transmitting. You're going to receive from God, and you're going to transmit to them. If you're a mom and you're alone right now, just encourage you to just put your hands on your heart and to receive the blessing that God wants to give you. So we're just going to spend the first couple minutes just blessing moms.
Turn His face toward you. we're going to continue in this song. And now I just want us all to receive as daughters and sons the abounding love of God. That you would just receive this blessing over you, and that it would bring revelation of this heart that wants to bring comfort to you. This heart that wants to cover you. That God wants to fill those places that have felt empty with His care and His compassion. That in these places that you don't feel defended and protected, that He wants to protect you. That He wants to bring healing to places of wounding where you felt forgotten. And He wants to fill you with His abounding love, so that you can walk out and demonstrate this from generation to generation. So just posture yourself to receive this blessing as Vanessa continues to sing over you. All of you receiving the mothering, compassionate heart of God for you today.
For you, He is for you.
He is for you. He is for you. Lord, I pray throughout this week, and even as we celebrate Mother's Day today, that we would feel that you are for us in a different way than we've ever understood. We thank you that you are so enamored with us. Thank you, Lord, for a deeper revelation of how you love. And thank you, Lord, that you want to love in that deeper way, both in us and through us. So just release an ability to receive and to give that depth of love. In Jesus' name. Well, thank you, bless you, and we'll see you next week.